welcome and thanks for tuning in to Real People, Real Talk. Relevant conversations that take you from surviving to thriving. This is the podcast that goes there. My name is Paul Calco, and I'm your host. Now let's talk. Good day, my friend, and thank you so much for joining me today. I'm excited about this episode as I'm going to be talking about the Great Commission. And the Great Commission refers to the instructions given by our resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to his disciples to spread the gospel to all nations in the world. I have for you Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Listen to the words of Jesus. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of age." This is the Great Commission. But often, if we keep it real in our personal lives, it can become the Great Omission, because we fail to accept this grand invitation to be a part of God's global plan of salvation and redemption. This is the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. These are Jesus' last words, and his last words should be our first priority. Let's look at the word commission. In other words, you are not just on mission for God, but you are on mission with God. And because we as believers have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of us to empower us, this is mission possible. Each of us that has called on the name of Jesus have repented of our sins and chosen to follow him and put our faith in him for salvation alone. All of us Christians, we have a call of duty, a part to play in God's global plan of redemption and salvation. Jesus is speaking to his disciples here. I want you to look at the context. Look at what's going on. He's not just speaking to pastors. He's not just speaking to missionaries. He's not just speaking to church staff, but he's speaking to each and every person that follows him. So if you name the name of Jesus, if you are a Christian, this message, this episode is especially for you. Our topic today is that of discipleship. And that's the heart of Jesus. And that's the responsibility of you and I as Christians. Amen. Now, discipleship is the process of leading others to maturity in Christ. Friend, I pose this question to you today. Who are you leading to Christ? Who are you pouring into and leading into maturity in Christ? Making disciples is more than just leading people to a decision. That's indeed the first step, but it's not the final step. John Piper once said, "Every Christian should be helping unbelievers become believers. That's making disciples." Every Christian should be helping believers to grow more and more in their maturity, and that's making disciples. It doesn't matter what your spiritual gifts are. It doesn't matter what talent or personality that you have, whether you're an extrovert or an introvert. You have exactly what it takes to be a successful discipler. And when I say you have what it takes, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And as we're talking about sharing the gospel, as we're talking about making disciples, it can be daunting, like, to share our faith with others. And let me tell you this, of course, you know, I would love it that every time that I talk to somebody that they come to know the Lord, but that may not always happen. But let me tell you this, that success in the eyes of God is you being faithful and you being obedient. You be faithful, you be obedient to open up your mouth, to share your faith, share Christ with others, and leave the results up to God. Discipleship is a lifelong process. Regardless of the stage in the journey, every Christian can benefit from a discipleship relationship. Whether you are the one being discipled or you are the one doing the discipling. Now back to scripture, verse 18. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." When you look at that phrase, all authority, that's God's power. I want to encourage you today to trust in the authority of the only one that triumphed over all. He triumphed over the crucifixion with the resurrection. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. And the one that has sent us, God, has all power in his hands. Jesus is Lord of all. So we can go about this with confidence as we share the gospel, as we point others to Christ. Verse 19 says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." I want you to look at that word "go" in this passage. In other words, the going was assumed. Get to going, because you literally can't spell the word gospel without G-O, go. And when you look at that word "go" in its original context, original language, it's better translated as you go. So in other words, as you go to school, as you go to work, as you're at home, as you're out eating, running errands, or even at events, I want you to look for opportunities as you go everywhere so you can share Christ with others. I want to encourage you to make disciples where you are. I want to encourage you to share Christ with those that you encounter, because there's going to come a day where God is going to return. Jesus is going to make that his second coming. And if he tarries his coming, people are going to experience death sooner or later. My point is, everybody's going to experience eternity. And I want to encourage you to live your life in such a way, to be intentional with your words, to be intentional with your actions, that you would share the gospel so that you can populate heaven. I want to just give you a couple of examples of what I try to do to point others to Christ, just in my everyday life. Nothing major, but I'm just being intentional. I play basketball on Thursday nights, get a group of guys together, and we play basketball. But it's more than just basketball. I make sure that before a shot is shot, we take time to pray. I pray over them. I pray for them. And I read scripture. I will invite them to church, and then we'll play basketball. And I'm just looking for ways that I can point others to Christ. I want to encourage you, my friend, to leverage all that you have for the cause of Christ. I want you to look at your social media. What can you do in your social media to point others to Christ? Maybe post scripture, maybe invite people to church, tell them about the church events. Look at your sphere of influence, whether it's your family, whether it's your friends, whether it's your sports team or your organizations, and just ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you to point others to Christ. And with this, I mean, making disciples doesn't just happen. I mean, we as Christians must be intentional. We must plan to pursue people to disciple. This doesn't just happen. And I want to admonish you today to make time in your schedule to reach the lost and to lead them to the Lord. Plant those gospel seeds. You may be having a conversation and you may not get through the whole Romans road, or you may not get through the entire gospel message, but just plant seeds. Let me ask you this. When was the last time you invited somebody to church? When was the last time you shared your faith with somebody? When was the last time that you told somebody about how your life was before Christ, and when Christ came into your life, and what your life looked after that? When was the last time you had a spiritual conversation to point people to Christ? Today's episode, today's sermon, serves as a heart check, maybe even a gut check, and as a sober reminder of our responsibility to lead people to the Lord, thus fulfilling the Great Commission. Sharing the gospel, aka leading a person to Christ, pointing them to Christ, is your single greatest contribution to a person's life, because it makes an eternal impact. Let me say that one more time. Sharing the gospel and pointing people to Christ is your single greatest contribution to a person's life. Imagine going to a football game. You see that your team that you're rooting for, they're at the 50-yard line, they're huddled up, and the other team is ready to snap the ball and play, but your team is still in the huddle. It sounds crazy, right? There's thousands of people watching in the stadium, maybe millions online around the world on TV, and all week they have put in the work. They've been lifting weights, running routes, memorizing plays, practicing multiple times a day, but they never put any of that to use because they never leave the huddle. And here's the point of that metaphor. If we are not careful, our church gatherings can become holy huddles. Yes, we go to church. We learn, we grow, we sing, we worship, we have community, we have fun connecting with others and connecting with God, but we never take what we learn to the outside world. If we do that, we are then just like a football team that never leaves the huddle, quite unproductive and not doing our jobs or reaching our full potential. In the Great Commission, God gives each of us a game plan, and everybody has a position and everybody has a part to play. So get out of the huddle and get into the game. If people were to look at you, if they were to look at your phone, look at how you act, if they were to look at your social media or examine your lifestyle, could they tell that you are a Christian? I heard it said or put it in another way. Is there enough evidence in your life to convict you of being a Christian? Because God doesn't need any undercover Christians. He needs people that will stand up and stand out and boldly declare what thus said the Lord. This gospel, this good news, is too powerful not to share. This gospel is the good news that anyone who repents of their sins and place their faith in Christ can be reconciled with God the Father and saved from eternal punishment. The gospel is the message that includes victory, grace, mercy, and love. It's the most powerful, phenomenal message ever. It literally calls 11 ordinary guys to turn the world upside down, or better, right side up, for the cause of Christ. The gospel is too good. It's too transformative. It's too life-changing, too beneficial not to share it with others. It is our duty to share the good news. And I don't want you to be afraid of this. Ask God to give you the courage. Ask God to give you the wisdom, and he will. And Jesus, as he was talking to his disciples, he didn't say, make disciples if you want to. He didn't say, make disciples if you feel like it. He didn't say, make disciples if it's convenient. He simply said, make disciples. Now, looking at verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, all things. That's the process. Look at that phrase, teaching them. Like I said earlier, it doesn't stop with a decision, but you may say, teach them what? Teach them the Bible. Teach them what you know. And let's break down discipleship even further. Discipleship has two components. We should be discipling others, leading people to Christ, leading them closer to Christ. But we also need people to disciple us, to invest in us, and lead us closer to Christ. Paul invested in Timothy. And even Paul was invested in by Barnabas. My parents invested in me, and I now invest in those in my life. My question for you today, my friend, who are you investing in? Who are you discipling? Who are you sharing Christ with? Who are you sharing the gospel with? Who are you pointing to Jesus? Then on the flip side, who's investing in you? Who's discipling you? In other words, we should find a mentor, find community so we can grow in our walk with the Lord. Because the Christian walk, the Christian life is not meant to be lived and walked alone. It's meant to be lived out in community, not isolation. None of the people that you are connected to, whether it's family, school, work, etc., none of the people that you are connected to are connected to you by accident. God has strategically placed them in your lives for the sole purpose of discipleship and evangelism. Live your life with an open heart, an open mind, open eyes, open ears, and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. And he'll lead you. He'll guide you on what to say. Verse 20b, the second part of that. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age. I want you to key in on the word always. That is a promise. You are never alone, so you don't have to be afraid. You have God's presence, you have his power, and you have his provision. The Gospel of Matthew opens up with the word Emmanuel. Matthew 1:23 says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And this gospel concludes with Jesus affirming that he is with us. In other words, it bookends the opening chapter of Mark and the final chapter of Mark. How comforting is that? That God is with us through every step and every chapter of our lives. You may say, okay, Paul, you have talked about the Great Commission and making disciples, but what does it look like to become a better discipler? Let's get practical. How to become a better discipler? Make yourself available for God's use. In other words, don't always be in a rush. When you study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those books, those gospels, and you see Jesus' life, he was never in a rush. He was busy, he was doing things, but a lot of his ministry and a lot of his miracles and a lot of his evangelistic moments happen on the way to doing things. So in other words, don't be in a rush and allow God to use you. Once again, we got to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. And the way that we can be more sensitive to God's Spirit and to his leading is by connecting with him, connecting, you know, to spending that time in worship, spending that time in prayer, spending that time in the word, spending that time in church. Okay. Secondly, and connected is to be sensitive to the opportunities that God gives you. Be intentional in your relationships as you're sharing your story, but more so sharing God's story. Intercede, invest, and invite. And then pray. Ask the Lord to give you opportunities that you can share the gospel. Ask the Lord that he will open up a door, open up that window, open up a right opportunity, and give you the wisdom and the boldness to share the gospel with the lost. Then you can serve in your church, because as you serve, you grow. And also, I just want you to keep it simple. You don't have to give a 10-point sermon to people. You can, you know, some people say you can just kind of share what your life looked like before Christ, talk about how you met Christ, then talk about how your life has been different since Jesus came into your life. And you can share with them John 3:16. You can Google plans of salvation and memorize that material and memorize those verses so you can be a soul winner. Amen. Another question I want to answer is how to become a disciple and continue in the discipleship process. Firstly, you got to make a decision to repent of your sins and turn to faith in Jesus Christ. For that is the best decision that you can ever make in this life, because it impacts now and it impacts later, and later lasts a lot longer than right now. Secondly, find the church to connect with so you can grow in your relationship and use your gifts and talents to serve the local church and to serve God. I would encourage you to join a life group. It's just a smaller group, you know, smaller Bible study and communities within the church that aid in spiritual growth. And it's a place to find a people to do life with and to find a mentor. And when it comes to sharing the gospel, I mean, once again, success looks like being faithful and being obedient. I remember one time, one of my cousins, he visited me in Texas many years ago, and shout out to my cousin, but we came, you know, he came over, we played basketball, he visited, then we got some Whataburger. And I remember when we was watching TV and we was eating, and the Holy Spirit just kind of nudging at me like, share the gospel with him. And this cousin, we shared the same last name, and I was afraid initially. But I listened to the Holy Spirit and I began to just have a conversation with him, and come to find out he was already saved. So maybe the Lord was just testing me. Another time I just felt the Holy Spirit, you know, leading me to share the gospel and to turn the conversation vertical. I went to AT&T to kind of talk about my bill. They had charged me too much. And so I was talking with the worker, and he calls corporate. And so we're just literally just waiting on hold. And so once again, I just kind of felt the Holy Spirit nudging to share the gospel with him and to turn the conversation vertical. And I began to talk with him about church and about God, and he began to respond and talk about the Quran. I didn't get a chance to share the full gospel, but once again, I just planted that seed, and I was faithful and I was obedient, and I'm going to leave the results up to God. So I want to encourage you with this. Share the gospel, plant those gospel seeds, be faithful, be obedient, and trust God. Jesus with the results. In other words, your job is to simply introduce people to the Savior and trust Jesus to do the saving. So before I conclude, let me give you a few questions to ponder upon. When was the last time you invited somebody to church? When was the last time you talked to somebody about God? When was the last time you said the word Jesus in a conversation? Get out of the huddle and get in the game. No matter how or when you became a Christian, in that moment of conversion, you were given the responsibility to share the gospel and to join God in his mission to save people. And remember this, only what you do for Christ is going to last. Discipleship isn't a Sunday only thing, but it's an everyday thing. I want to encourage you to win the world for Jesus. One conversation at a time. One relationship at a time. Because all it takes is one encounter with Christ to change a person's eternal destination. Yes, I want to go to heaven, but I want to take as many people as I can with me. And that begins with sharing the gospel. Amen. So our great God has given us the great commission to share the great news, which will have the greatest impact on people. And with that being said, I have good news and I have bad news. At the time of this recording, the good news is that there are 2.7 billion Christians in the world. That's one third. But the bad news is that leaves about 5.4 billion people left, as the total population at the time of this recording is 8.1 billion. My question to you is this. Will you contribute to that number increasing, the amount of Christians that we have in the world? And that's starting with opening up our mouth and sharing Jesus with others. Amen and amen. God bless you so much, and thank you for listening.